Please make yourselves comfortable. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. We tend to call Saul by the Greek version of his name, Paul. Saul would be the more Hebraic version of his name. And I don't think any of you were there, but this is the church that is named after him. So I have a question that I really want you to answer. Why Paul? What does Paul mean to you? God. Everyone's sitting there going, we didn't know there'd be a test today.
He also created a lot of trouble for Christians.
Yeah, he does not have the best start. He does not have the best start. This is not actually the first time we see Saul or Paul. I think his first appearance is at the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the church, where the people who kill Stephen sort of acknowledge Saul, and Saul, it said, looked on with approval. Not the kind of guy at the start you think we're going to name churches after. So none of you were there, but I wonder if you have any guesses, because that's all we can do, about why the people who founded our church picked St. Paul. There are other saints. There are a lot of other saints.
Probably meant that we would face troubles in our time.
Maybe something about facing troubles in our time? We started off on the rocky foot of St. Paul. What are some of the other things Paul is known for? Talked about some of them with the kids. He's the author of a lot of the New Testament.
Suffering with the pain in his side.
Yeah, you get these weird references to Paul having some sort of thorn or pain or ongoing something. So one of the things I know Paul as is he's a founder of a lot of the churches we have him writing to. Not the church in Rome, but a lot of Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians. These are all churches Paul founds. Sometimes called the apostle to the Gentiles. Is that triggering any memories for anyone? Nope. So if you keep reading, we get that earlier reference to Paul, but Paul, this is really where Paul's story takes off. And you see that Paul is really at the center of some of the early church turmoil, because the first divisive issue in the church is whether or not we're going to care about the Gentiles. We're all here, so they decided to. But Paul and Peter have this sort of like tension about whether or not people who are not already Jewish, as Peter was, as Paul was, Paul describes himself in some places as sort of like the pinnacle of Jewishness, highly trained, very committed to his Jewish practice, whether everyone else had to become a Jew first to then begin to follow Jesus. Which might sound a little weird now. Some of you might be sitting there in great relief that they decided not to do that. But all of the early followers of Jesus were pretty much some flavor of Jewish. some diversity in there, a lot of diversity in there, really, but most of them were Jewish. Paul is the one. Paul, who's not raised, he's raised in what's now not part of Israel. He's given these dual names, which is sort of an early clue that he's really a person born in two cultures. And we know that for sure because he's also a Roman citizen, which becomes very important in his ability to travel the ancient Mediterranean region. So as a Roman citizen, he has a lot of privilege. We know he can speak Greek because we have letters from him in early forms of Greek. We know he can write, because even though most of his letters weren't actually, like, he didn't actually write them out. There's one where he says, you know, look at how large the letters are because I'm writing them myself. So why Paul? There's no right answer here. I'm just wondering. Yeah.
He had a very open mind.
Yeah, he did. Very open-minded. Paul is the person who writes, you know, to the Greeks, I became as a Greek, to this people. He was willing to really do the work of fitting in and finding the way to proclaim the gospel in the way that worked the people he was among. The most famous example of this is in Athens, where he shows up, and as Paul often did, he goes to the synagogue, and then he goes to one of the common areas and watches what people are doing, and there's different altars. And then in the famous speech, Paul at the, I'm not going to get that word right, it's very famous, though, as he stands up and he lauds them for already being faithful followers of God, because they have an altar there that's to the unknown God, and he sort of claims that for the God of Jesus Christ as a conversion effort. He's also the person who writes, in Christ there's no differentiation. There's no woman or man. There's no Jew or Greek. But we are all one in our faith. Which is a really bold claim. Even still, we still fight about what that means in the Christian church. I wonder if anyone has a favorite story or favorite letter written by Paul. Some shaking of heads. Everyone's sitting there going, what letters did Paul write? She only listed three of them with the kids. A lot of people's favorite is Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's one of the happier letters Paul writes. The church there doesn't seem to be in distress, so he gets to just rejoice with them. I'm a fan of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's actually where we drew from for the beginning of our baptismal liturgy. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Our New Testament professor might have once joked that our class was almost too biblical to actually be Anglicans or Episcopalians. Here we get the beginning of Paul's journey, where he is on the road to Damascus. So it's one of the early places Christians tended to hang out, in case that wasn't obvious. And he is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And then on the road, he is struck down, blinded, and has this vision of Jesus. And this is where the story, I would agree, I've seen some people argue this and I would tend to agree, sort of stops being about Paul. Because does anyone remember the other figure in the story, or have we talked about Paul for so long, you're just like, I'm dizzy with thoughts. We sort of cut to this person in Damascus, apparently a respected member of the way, which is what the early Christian practitioners were called. We weren't called Christians yet. That comes in a couple chapters in Acts. Ananias. And God sends a vision to Ananias too and says, you need to go and help this Saul person. And the ancient world was a big place, but it was a big place in the way collections of small towns are big places. You might be separate, but you know the news from everywhere around you anyways. And some of you are nodding. We've lived in places like that. It's one of the jokes they make about my home state of Montana. It's the biggest small town. So Ananias had heard about Paul. The rumors of how Paul interacted with Christians had preceded Paul to Damascus. And then Ananias, I have a soft spot for anyone who, when God says, could you go do this, says, is no an option? So that's Ananias' response. He's like, God, are you trying to get me killed? Because that's what happens. That's what he does. And God says, not trying to get you killed, you still have to go do it, though. And there's this moment that I think raises the question of how well we will let it continue to define the church, of how willing we are to let people who have not always been with us and who have sometimes been against us become a part of us. Ananias goes, and Paul is baptized. This is not the story anyone who was there at the beginning, when Paul is petitioning for the power to bind and bring followers of the way, followers of Jesus, back to Jerusalem for judgment, was expecting. I asked you an impossible question at the beginning of this. Why is this church named after this particular saint? Why Saint Paul? And I don't know either. I was certainly not here 100 plus years ago when this church was founded and named and began. I think there are some good guesses we could make about openness of mind, about willingness to evangelize well in the people you are among, about persistence in the faith amid struggle. But I wonder if the option that will help us the most in the next few years is a refusal to see people as our enemy, to be a church of St. Paul in the manner of Ananias, who can look at the people who have not always agreed with Ananias and his fellow believers, who have maybe sometimes been at odds and been a threat to them, and see in them too beloved children of God. Amen.